This is KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Evan Erickson. The Yukon Delta coast remains under a flood warning and high wind advisory as a large storm moves up the coast of western Alaska. The National Weather Service in Fairbanks anticipates many communities along the Yukon Delta coast could see high water 5 to 7 feet above the normal highest tide line, as well as significant coastal erosion. Meteorologist Carter McKay is with the National Weather Service in Fairbanks.
We are looking at the potential for a more significant potential flooding event, especially when it comes to the storm surge.
The agency says lower-lying communities like Newnham Iqua and Hooper Bay could be especially hard hit by flooding. In addition to flood warnings and advisories, many communities throughout the Yukon and Kuskokwim drainages have been under high wind warnings and advisories. McKay says the strongest winds of the storm were expected to peak Tuesday afternoon and evening.
We've seen gusts, probably the strongest out there so far today, across the Yukon Delta out towards Bethel, about 50 to 60 miles an hour across the board. So really strong winds with this system are filling in.
But McKay says the water will continue to rise over the next day and a half.
With that water already building up, that's where we'll see the peak, generally later in the day, Wednesday, Thursday morning, before water levels considerably drop heading into later in the week as this storm works well north up into the Chukchi Sea.
As this storm tracks north, McKay says the National Weather Service has its eye on another even larger storm, the remnants of a typhoon that could pass the Aleutians and travel up through western Alaska early next week. Before the next fall storm hits, McKay says that the National Weather Service wants to hear from communities about shoreline and coastal erosion that might result from the flooding and wind this week. Find contact info for the National Weather Service in Fairbanks at weather.gov/Fairbanks. Initial results are in from Bethel's municipal election and from rural education attendance area school board elections throughout the YK Delta. There are still a handful of Bethel ballots to be counted, but the outcome of the election is unlikely to change. Bethel City Council candidates Mark Springer, Kelsey Keim, and Teresa Keller will gain two-year terms on the council. Write-in candidate Greg Schiedler will likely gain a one-year term on the council, with write-in votes yet to be verified. Bethel's Canvas Board will meet Thursday to count write-in votes and process early absentee, questioned, and special needs ballots. The City Council will then meet to certify the election on October 14th. Preliminary voter turnout numbers for this election are low. Both of Bethel's voting precincts saw turnouts around half of what they were last year. Of the just over 4,000 registered voters in Bethel, just 4.5% cast ballots in this local election. As for the REAA school board elections, as of late Tuesday night, the State Division of Elections was still receiving election results from precincts throughout the YK Delta. In REAA 03, the Lower Yukon School District, three school board seats were up for election. For Section 1, Seat A, challenger Matilda A. Tilly Oktayuk was leading incumbent Max Ayagar with 8 of 10 precincts reporting. For Section 1, Seat C, incumbent Christine R. Tengen Lakla led challengers Gordon Westlock Jr. and Maggie Westlock Harpak with 8 of 10 precincts reporting. And in Section 2, Seat E, challenger Darlene M. Darcy Pete had a strong lead over incumbent Edgar P. Holscher, also with 8 precincts reporting. In REAA 04, the Lower Kuskokwim School District, two seats were up for election, but neither was contested. Incumbent Wassily Pleasant of New Napichuk is poised to be re-elected to Section 3, Seat D, and incumbent Hugh Diamond of Bethel will be re-elected to Section 4, Seat I. In REAA 05, the Kuspuk School District up the Kuskokwim River, four seats were up for election. Two of those seats were contested. Section 1, Seat A, was uncontested, and Rachel K. Person will be re-elected. In Section 1, Seat C, incumbent Phyllis E. Evan appears to have held her seat against a challenge from Nathan Underwood. Audrey E. Leary ran uncontested to represent Section 2, Seat D. And for Section 2, Seat F, Jeanette L. Hoffman beat Teresa M. Simeon Hunter, with all precincts reporting. Continuing down the list, in REAA 11, the Iditarod Area School District, the two seats up for election were both contested. For Section 1, Seat B, Nathan J. Elswick won the three-way race against Rosalie V. Wolf and Matthew A. Burkett. And in the contest for Section 2, Seat D, Patience O. Claremont pulled ahead of Walt Makested and Tiffany B. Workman. In REAA 22, the Kashunimute School District in Chivac John Henry Atchuk won the race against Gregory E. Slats for the seat, which is Section 1, Seat B. And there were two seats up for election in REAA 23, the Ubiete School District. In the race for Section 1, Seat A, Melanie D. Kasiley-Alexi will be re-elected. And for Section 3, Seat G, it appears Moses Owen will likely hold the seat against the challenge from Michael P. Williams Sr. The 7th School District in the YK Delta, the St. Mary's City School District, doesn't hold school board elections through a regional education attendance area. Like Bethel's local election, these election results are preliminary. The state of Alaska aims to certify the results of REAA school board elections by October 24th to allow time for mail-in ballots to be received. The community of Akiak is still without reliable power more than 2 weeks after a mechanical failure halted operations at the city's power plant. A meeting held Monday in the Lower Kuskokwim River community highlighted a critical need to resolve equipment issues before winter sets in. Here's a report.
For weeks, Akiak has managed to get by without use of its municipal power plant. The school and water treatment plant are running on backup generators. But for those relying on personal generators to keep the lights on and power freezers full of subsistence foods, the costs are high.
We're paying like maybe $65 or more per day for gas, so we don't lose our food, you know, food that we just stored for the winter.
Akiak Mayor Olinka Jones shared details about the situation on the ground as part of an emergency phone-in meeting held on Monday. Representatives from the Alaska Energy Authority also joined the call. The state-run corporation has been providing assistance to Akiak during the power crisis. AEA says a new generator engine is set to be shipped from Wasilla and could be powered up as early as next weekend. But getting Akiak's main generator back up and running is only one part of the solution. AEA Rural Programs Manager Chris McConnell explained that two additional generator engines housed at the power plant are also in need of repairs. At least one of them will be needed during the colder months.
In order to carry the load of the community's demand through the winter, you're going to need another engine to be operational.
McConnell says parts and labor for replacing a single diesel generator engine like those in Akiak can run around $120,000. He says coming up with a strategy to avoid a similar situation in the future is critical.
Our concern, it is Alaska Energy Authority, and concern for all of the community's well-being and health, is that you have a new engine that you're going to be getting this weekend. Is there a plan to ensure that it's being properly maintained? And what is the plan to get a second engine back online and properly maintained?
Power issues are not new for Akiak. In 2024, the community lost power twice due to mechanical issues, a five-day outage in the spring followed by a summer outage that lasted nearly 2 months. For now, the community is finding ways to get by. Donlin Gold and the Association of Village Council Presidents are both providing financial relief for fuel costs. The regional and local Alaska Native Corporations and State Emergency Operations Center are also providing support. But as pointed out in Monday's call, overall fuel levels in the community need to be monitored closely as dozens of smaller, less efficient generators burn through it. Additional obstacles remain. One community member reported that propane, which can be used to power cooking stoves, was out of stock at the local Village Corporation store as of Monday. The caller also said as many as 20 households in the community of roughly 450 people were still without generators. With winter just around the corner, time is ticking for both a short-term solution and a longer-term strategy for addressing Akiak's power woes.
This is KYUK News. I'm Evan Erickson. Koyana for listening. Please share your news tips, comments, or suggestions. You can email us at news@kyuk.org or message us on Facebook. And stay tuned for Yovtun Ganumchit coming up.